How's it going, everybody? Brian Alverson, Dave Meltzer here, Wrestling Observer Radio, July 19, 2026, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Yes, we're doing a show here today, and Dave is in Mexico still. Is that right, Dave?
I am in Mexico. I am in Mexico. I'm flying home tomorrow, yeah.
It
was awesome.
Go for it, brother.
You need to go, man. Everyone needs to go here once in their life. It's very hard to describe. It's fascinating and it's great. You know, it's so much fun. I went to 3 shows and they were all completely different and they're all in the same city. You know, like the Friday night crowd is Friday nights and Saturday, you know, Saturday's completely different. Sunday's completely different. The wrestlers work really hard. The thing that surprised me is, okay, so the matches, like if you watch the matches, like live, they are so much better because, you know, the crowd is, you know, the crowd's so loud and it doesn't come through that much on the streaming thing. I mean, you can see and hear, you know, the crowd, but it's like in that building when it's shaking, which it did a couple times on Friday, and the crowd just being so enthusiastic and so, like, you get a little bit of everything, you know. You got the Today Show had not a ton of kids, but some, but like lots of women and women screaming, you know, for Soberano and the Calavera brothers, and you know, the hardcore fans, and you know, the buildings are really, they're really unique buildings. I mean, because they're like wrestling museums practically. The outside of Arena Mexico on Friday, and to an extent Sunday, but Friday night outside of Arena Mexico is like this madhouse of merch stands. You know, like merch stand after merch stand, and people just hanging out there. You know, they have like a, you know, a bar restaurant across the street that people just hang out at, and people come on Friday nights that don't even go to the show just to hang out and you know, like with their friends. You know what I mean? It's like some of them don't even go, and then some of them don't even go in the building until like 9 o'clock. They'll miss the first 2 matches because you know, Mystico has his store. Octagon has his store. So it's just really interesting. And the other thing is that the depth of the talent is unbelievable. It's like, you all know like who the top guys, because, you know, you've probably seen them or heard their names. But the guys in the openers, the young guys, they're almost as good. You know, and they, you know, you'll see incredible opening matches here, you know, that with guys you've never heard of, and they're just out there, and you know, it's especially on Friday with the big stage and everything like that. So yeah, it was just great. I had a great weekend. I met the guy with the biggest, I guess they say the biggest wrestling collection in Mexico on Friday, and he, you know, he had stuff dating back to the 30s, you know, old programs, old newspaper clippings, you know, Declaration of Independence looking paper, you know, and things like that from, you know, Rudy Guzman, you know, from as an opening match wrestler, who of course later was El Santo, from, you know, in like 1935-ish, you know, all through the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, all kinds of guys that I watched when I was a kid. It was really, really interesting. You know, learned a lot of history, and yeah, it's like just a fascinating thing that Arena Coliseo is probably as fun an arena to go to watch wrestling as there is. It's much louder than Arena Mexico live in the building. The crowd's just screaming everything. They're chanting. You know, they do, you know, it's all in Spanish, so I'm not fluent in Spanish, but they're chanting. They chant things, you know, that are sometimes not wrestling related, but they're just there to have a great time. And You know, the Coliseo thing was so interesting because the show started.
Well, tell us, where did you go on which days?
Friday night's Arena Mexico, Saturday night's Arena Coliseo, and today's Arena Mexico again for the family show. And so Coliseo, and when the show starts, the announcer's like, you know, like, who's here for the Technicos? And they, you know, most people booed. So I go, oh, it's going to be a heel crowd, which is fine. It was weird because in every match, it felt like the crowd was 100% behind one team. And sometimes they were the baby faces and sometimes they were the heels, but it wasn't like they had split crowds or, you know, whatever, you know, like, the double chance, nothing like that at all. They just, like in some matches, they just loved the heels, and the baby faces worked like baby faces the whole match and understood that they got booed. It didn't concern them at all. I mean, I saw nobody panics over it or anything. It's what they're doing. The Calavera brothers are, you know, like in the Calavera brothers at Arena Coliseo are like the Von Erichs in Dallas Sportatorium when I was, you know, much, much, much younger. They're not as good, in the ring, but I mean, as far as the crowd reactions, it's every bit as loud. They're still learning and everything, but they just, you know, whatever it is in that building, they're it, and they're heels. But they just, you know, the crowd just loves them, you know, especially the women, they just scream over them. And like, it's freaking like a rock concert. So, you know, and the other thing is like these, like Friday night is definitely the best night for wrestling. I mean, you have the best lineups and everyone knows it's their big match of the week. So everyone, you know, but they work like everybody works hard. They're not everybody's great, but most are. And there are guys like, Ray Pegasus in the opener on Friday night, who was incredible. He might've been the best guy in the whole show. And then, this guy, Dragon Legendario, who is like this, he's like this bodybuilder looking guy who just does like this Dynamite Kid stuff all over the place. I'm so afraid of his knees and stuff. It's like he's like mini Brian Cage, but he flies around like he's Mascara Dorada. And it's like I sense he's probably in some ways green, because it's like he probably is only in the ring in a trios match like 4 minutes, and he's just doing like crazy spots, but they're incredible. And you know, and the people know it. The other thing, the fans, it's like, you know, there's this feeling that it's like there's a lot of tourists, but and I'm sure that a lot of the tourists go not knowing who anyone is except for Mystico. I'm sure that they're there and everything, but boy, are they loud for everyone. And also, like, the people in the, like, a lot of the people that are there, I mean, they know everyone on the show. They know the opening match guys. They know their stories and their backgrounds, and they scream for them. I mean, like, they're like a lot of the opening match guys that I just thought, oh, they're opening match guys, I know the names, and, you know, I mean, they're not going to get much of a reaction. It's like they get the same reaction that the main eventers get, you know, pretty much, other than, like, you know, Mystico and Soberano, or like, and, you know, the Calavera brothers on Saturdays, you know, like, they're different, you know, they're, you know, like Soberano's like a total superstar, even though he works a lot. He works a lot of American 1970s Gino Hernandez heel stuff, and got so much charisma. And Mystico's Mystico, you know, he's just a superstar and everything. But I got to see Mystico's anniversary main event, because that was like a lot of fun, because they, you know, he did a stretcher job for Averno. I'm presuming that it's going to be Mystico and Averno, you know, maybe Mask versus Hair at the anniversary. But you know, so, I mean, I was hoping for, you know, the usual big Friday match with Mystico and the Sky team, and it wasn't, but it was more fun for me, because it was so, when they attacked him, you know, he was put on a stretcher, tore up his mask and all that, you know, the big angle. And then Averno, like, attacks him on the stretcher. And it's like, we, you know, it's stuff that, like, we'll see all the time. there because they only do that once a year. The heat was so great. It was the most fun heat I've seen in decades. It was so incredible live. I mean, I know people who watched it, had told me like, oh man, it looked really incredible. I didn't watch it back, but I can just tell you in the building, I mean, that was like perfect heat. It was not dangerous or anything like that. Although we did get a guy hit the ring, which I think they told me happens about twice a year, and right in front of us too.
You didn't jump the rail and stop that guy?
I didn't jump the rail. No, it's not my job. I was right there though. When he did it. So the thing is like he was a good sized guy. And he's wearing a mask. And there's a run in, and I think that like everyone figures. Okay, so the things that was weird is. Like, I think security just figured he's doing a run-in, and I immediately, it just looked like a guy doing a run-in, right? Like you would see in any thing, and I'm going like, I don't recognize this guy, and we're in the semi-main. I figured guy's doing a run-in in the semi-main, I'm going to know. And then immediately it hit, they don't do these kind of run-ins here. I'm thinking like I'm in America. And the thing was, and this is like literally right in front of me, he was doing the run-in against Cavernario, and it's like they have a rule here, and it's so strict that like if you hit the ring on a wrestler, the wrestlers just cannot fight back because they don't want that stuff that goes viral when this happens on the independent shows where the wrestlers and the fans are fighting and everything. They don't want they don't want that. And the guy's going after Cavernario. He hadn't hit him yet, but Cavernario is like reacting like a wrestler. And just about to hit him, and people in the company are just screaming, no, no. And security, they had like 30 security guys just rushing, dragging this guy out. And it kind of killed the match for about 5 minutes because it was something so unusual. But it was like the wrestler had to freeze because their natural instincts, if they're on a show anywhere else, like on an indie show, he's punching that guy right away. And he was like, he basically was told like, you cannot, it's a rule. They all know you can't touch him, but he was like, right away in the heat of the moment, sometimes you go back to natural instincts, but he didn't touch him, and everything, and let security take care of it. And, that was that. But, yeah, Saturday show, man, that Saturday show was fun and everything was fun. I mean, it's something that everybody should go to. It's just a great different atmosphere each night, but really strong stuff. And the best match I saw was the main event tonight, which was Templario and Mascara Dorada, who was great all three nights against Defunto and Sobrano Jr. On Friday, the women's match was excellent. Tessa Blanchard was, in it, Thunder Rosa, Olympia, Persephone. Like, they had a hell of a match. They worked so hard. Thunder Rosa was awesome Friday and Saturday. And she won the tournament tonight, the Cibernetico tonight. So she's going to challenge for the Mexican National Championship against India Sue on the 31st. And, she should win. She's very, very over. And, when you have... I know a lot of people like hate the idea that AEW talent comes in and wins championships, blah, 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 but they always lose them. And it's like, it's like the thing in Stardom, like with Tekla and Sky Blue and Julia Hart, when they went there, it's like, I knew that, they should win the championship, but when they did, it's like, oh God, Tony makes all these people, win when they go to other places. And it's like, yeah, of course, that's how you do angles. It's like they're going to lose on the way out, but they're going to win when they show up. I mean, that's just like the most basic of basic booking. Sometimes, as long as they lose on the way out and, it's fine. But Rosa should win that championship. She's a star in that building and she's a bigger star than Nia Su. And it's, it elevates the championship when you have someone who they see as a foreign star hold it. I mean, you don't want, I mean, I get, like, you don't want someone to come in and always beat your guys. You don't. Absolutely not. And sometimes there is the feeling, I think a lot of people have, that, like, look at this company. It's so successful as far as drawing. I mean, in its own way, you know, it's like, I mean, what they do is something WWE can't do. I mean, WWE could never run three shows in the same city every weekend, you know, and all three shows draw big. I mean, they did 6,500 tonight, you know, or this afternoon against that freaking world. I mean, the World Cup final was over by the time the show started, but it had really just ended, and people were, you know, most of Mexico and everything, even though they were in the World Cup, they all wanted Spain to win because they hate Argentina. And, you know, there were people celebrating all over the city. And but they still had, you know, 6,500 people at the matches today after having, you know, 13,200 on Friday and close to 6 on Saturday. So it's like, it's, I mean, you know, and this is 52 weeks a year. This is not even a... This is, I wanted to go on a normal week. I didn't want to go on anniversary for the first time because I wanted an authentic experience. And, you know, this is a normal week. They do 52 weeks a year. You know, they're gonna hit 1.3 million viewer spectators at Arena Mexico this year. They're expecting to hit the million mark in September. You know, last year it was, I think it was first week of December, I think. I mean, they're well ahead of last year's pace. And they had, like, they have like a play thing, and that's drawn pretty well too now. They're doing some Thursday shows, which I think that's probably overkill.
What do you mean they have a play thing? What does that mean?
They have like a history thing where a lot of the wrestlers work. They do wrestling matches. It's called Medios del Ring, and it's like the history of Mexico, as you know, and with like four wrestling matches on the show that they did for the summer. And it seems that it's doing okay. They were telling me that they're doing, like, you know, a lot of 7,000 crowds and things like that. And this is like, for, you know, so I mean, in that sense, they're so anyway, we brought all this up. They're so incredibly successful. And I think the feeling is that, like, when foreign stars come in, they treat them like bigger than their own stars. And that their guys should be not, you know, their guys should be winning more, because usually when the foreign stars come in, the foreign stars usually win until, you know, they win. And then on their, you know, at the end, they will lose, you know, because that's what you do for the most part. Although, you know, I mean, and it's not like 100%. I mean, like, it's like they brought in Claudio against Blue Panther, and you know, everyone knew Claudio was going to win. And it's kind of like, but he's not even there every week, and Blue Panther's there every week, you know, type of a thing. But it's, you know, but like I said, like, sometimes I can understand why some fans would be upset about them bringing in guys from AEW who are not the Jon Moxley, Will Ospreay level guys, and beat a lot of their guys with them. And that's a valid complaint. But in the case of, like, with all this stuff with Thunder Rosa, it's like, she should, you know, I mean, I was in the building tonight. She should absolutely 100%. I don't know that she's going to, and she works there enough because she's dual contract and loves it there. So I think she should win that championship on the 31st. They got big shows, you know, every Friday's big for a while. They're doing the Leyenda de Plata this coming Friday, and Commander's back for that. And then the 31st is a big show. Mitch Sarah's going to be defending the world title. And they're going to have the finals of the Leyenda de Plata. And they're going to have Rosa's match. So they're going to have two women's championship matches. You have Rosa and Yusu and Persephone defending the CMLL World Women's title against Tessa Blanchard. And I'm sure some other stuff too. And then the 7th is the Grand Prix that they're promoting really hard. And then, you know, then it's angles for... you know, the anniversary show on September the 18th. So it was really, it's fun. Spent a lot of time with Salvador Ruderoth. Spent all day with him today, actually. So it was, like, really a good time. And, my kids freaking loved it. Like, best vacation ever, you know, even more than Tokyo, I think. I think they liked, because they were just in kind of awe of everything, you know, as far as, yeah, I think I got the impression they liked it more than Tokyo.
All right. Well, are you going to go to the anniversary show?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I might. I mean, I'm definitely going to go. This will probably, if I can convince a couple of friends that I used to go to PWG with, which is the next thing I'm going to do, is like, because there's no PWG, it's like, we should just do this like four times a year, like we used to go to PWG. Because we get, you know, you can go and get three nights instead of one, and the wrestling is a blast, and there's so many things to do. It's you know, it's a city where, you know, the restaurants are open at 2 a.m. and things like that, you know, and there's plenty of places to party and everything. So it's kind of like, maybe, you know, because I miss those socialization of the PWG shows, you know, where people would fly from all over the world there, and, you know, we would all hang out, and, like, wrestlers would be, you know, a lot of wrestlers would be there and everything. And maybe I could start doing that, you know. It's a little bit more expensive, but then, yeah, it is. It's more expensive to go there. But the hotels are much cheaper, so there's a balance. And the restaurants are less expensive, and the wrestling is, you know, you get three shows. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go to the anniversary show or not. It depends on a lot of different things.
What other shows did you watch this weekend or matches?
Yeah, I saw, all of the first night of G1 from Sapporo. I saw every match from Saturday Night's main event. I really liked the main event, the tag team. I thought the tag team match with Cody and Punk against Sammy and Gunther, it was a super well put together match. You know, I mean, I know like the Nick Aldis belt shot, and they're doing the Gunther and Nick Aldis thing, and Gunther, you know, got beat, and I, you know, it builds to SummerSlam and everything like that. I didn't see the Jalen Bronson Roman Reigns thing. Is Bayley gone?
How did you miss that?
What?
The main event segment. It was like right afterwards.
Because I ran out of time. I was watching, and then I had to go out with everybody. So I watched the whole show, but when the main event time came, we had to do stuff.
If you would have just fast-forwarded the Roman Reigns entrance, you would have watched in like 3 minutes. There really was not much to it. I mean,
okay.
He came out, and him and Jalen Brunson were out there, and I mean, literally between the ring entrances and his speech, it was like 15 minutes, and literally absolutely nothing happened. And he just said they were the tribal chief and the captain. He said that Jalen was the king of New York, said, acknowledge us. And then Seth came out and attacked Roman. And man, this Jalen, I guess he's got like a bad wrist or something. He had a cast on his wrist. But this guy he just stood there as this is all going on. And he's just watching it happen. And then Seth goes for the curb stomp and Jalen gets between them. And this allows Roman to hit a Superman punch. And then Tyrese Halliburton was out there with Seth, and he helped him to the back. And the latest I heard is they're not going to be involved in SummerSlam. It was just something to do for this night. But they wanted to get their ESPN coverage, and I'm sure they got a lot. But I don't know how much they got on, you know, the weekend with the finals of the World Cup. But
yeah,
they were happy about it. Let me tell you.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, I know. So I heard about the Tom Brady thing with Logan Paul.
Yeah, he slapped Logan.
What?
He slapped him.
Yeah, but I mean, they can't do a match right now because Logan's hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe down the line. I don't want to see that though. I don't want to see Tom Brady. But I mean, if they can get him to do it, you know, I mean, I totally get it if they can get him to do it. I mean, it's Tom Brady. I mean, it's like it's all kinds of publicity and everything, and it's what they are. And I don't mean that in a negative way either. It's like there's nothing wrong with all of that stuff. I mean, if you don't like it, there's a thousand alternatives in wrestling right now that are excellent. I mean, I watched I watched a Stardom match with Shuri and Natsupoi from yesterday. My God. I mean, like you know, the stuff here, New Japan Pro Wrestling's got G1, AEW's freaking awesome right now. So it's like, you know, if you don't like it, there's other wrestling. I wouldn't, you know, and they do what they do. I mean, I enjoyed Saturday Night's main event, the matches. I didn't think, other than the main event, I didn't think any of the matches were particularly great, but they were all fine. And, you know, they changed the tag team titles, which they should have done. You know, I mean, I was almost afraid that they wouldn't, but it's like that title change absolutely should have happened. And, you know, Danhausen's Danhausen. I mean, it worked for what it was. It was silly. And then Bayley and Lyra, you know, I mean, when it's over, it's like, I was just thinking, it's like, I wonder what's, you know, I don't know. It's like, you know, like, you know.
I think she's either gone or they want you to think she's gone. I mean, this was Lyra beat her, and then she destroyed her afterwards, and she gave her a Nightwing on the steps, and she left her for dead, and it really was like a blow off. Like, that's the end of Bayley. So,
right,
we'll
see. And the thing is, the feud just started, but I mean, you could go and say, well, it's the way to keep the feud going, but it really, to me, didn't go that way. Because it felt like...
Well, hold on, Dave. You say that, except we just saw Obafemi beat Brock Lesnar in 5 minutes, and then Brock Lesnar retired. And that was the build for a second match, which makes absolutely no sense, but that's what they did. So I can't say that they couldn't do a second match out of this.
I know. I mean, they could... They could do something like that, but I mean, just didn't feel, I don't know, when I watched it was kind of like, I mean, I've always heard the rumors, and I know her contract's due in a couple months, and she's best friends with Mercedes, and Mercedes is probably having a ball right now. And getting to do, you know, one of the things, one of the advantages of AEW is if you are in the right group, you know, because the bad thing is if you're not in the right group, your match, you know, you don't get a lot of matches, and you know, you're kind of, you know, you're just kind of not, you're getting paid and you're not really doing a whole lot of a lot. But if you're in the right group, I mean, you're given the opportunity, like Mercedes, to like have, you know, like much better matches than she could have in WWE, you know, even though with WWE, she probably has better opponents. She would probably have better opponents without a doubt, but she's not going to get like the featured time and if you're, you know, if that's your goal, if you, you know, at a certain point in your career, if you're going to make money either way, and you know, like with Bayley and everything, it's like, she's talented, but I don't know that she's, I don't know, you know, I mean, it's like, she's been there for her whole life practically, it seems. And a change of scenery could do her really well. But if she's brought in and then they don't decide to use her, then it's kind of like whatever. And again, you know, I think Mercedes could get her in, because I think Mercedes is in a pool of Tony to do that. So it's all speculation and everything. But when I watch, you know, like when I watch that, and I don't know anything on this one, it's not like I've asked, I've been gone, you know, but when I watched it, it did hit me like, wow, that could be like, you know, that could be someone on the way out of the territory easily.
They also announced on the show that WrestleMania weekend, they're going to be doing NXT and AAA shows at the theater at Madison Square Garden. And apparently there's going to be more announcements to come. So there is going to be a North American WrestleMania presence, even though the whole show is going to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I had been under the impression that AEW is going to run, and possibly in New York. And if they are going to run in New York, I mean, I don't care. You know, like if you're putting an AEW show in the same market and they're going to run AAA and NXT at the theater, I mean, even at best, they're going to get 4,000 people. So it's really not going to hurt AEW significantly. It will, you know, I mean, it's something. It's something. If that's what the plan was, and I guess you want to do it. It's interesting because, you know, one of the things that I was thinking in with the idea that if AEW is running another city, then you're going to have this thing with the independent promotions that run, because they're not going to Saudi. Are they going to run in conjunction with WWE, or are they going to run in conjunction with AEW? And if they're both in New York, they can just run in New York. That's not even an issue. And it's like, you don't have to pick favorites. You just run in New York, you know? I don't know. I mean, WWE, obviously their big thing right now is, to try to run in situations where with the comparison, they're going to come up short. But, you know, I think I know the game plan, and it's just that I think they think this, and it's true. This is the most important time in the history of AEW, because if the deal goes through, it's like, and they're successful, you know, they're, you know, and they get a new contract, they're locked for life. They're not going to fall apart. But we don't know what the new ownership, you know, is going to think. Can they be pressured off? You know, I mean, can they look at it and go like, oh, the numbers aren't that good, you know, type of a thing. You know, if AEW gets like a new deal and it's an up deal, you know, like if they compare, you know, and again, the WWE deal, I think more and more, you know, especially from the lawsuit by the shareholders of Paramount, you know, they basically out and out said it without mentioning the thing that Paramount has made certain deals that do not make economic sense to appease the president's friends, which would mean, you know, Dana White and UFC. And, you know, in that lawsuit. So doing a direct comparison and going, well, the AEW can do, you know, on TV, you know, the AEW TV numbers now are higher than the UFC numbers on ESPN were last year, with a worse rating system, you know, for both MMA and for pro wrestling. Their pay-per-views are probably 60 to 70% of UFCs. Obviously live arena business, UFC absolutely destroys AEW. It's not even a comparison, but live arena business is not, you know, like if you're looking at, if you're a counter at Paramount, live arena business is means nothing. And you look at like this performs at this level on pay-per-view compared, and this performs this level on television compared. You could just say, well, we overpaid for this thing. We don't want to pay for anything else because we've got so much money there. Or, and that's a valid fear. Or you could go and go like, man, like if UFC is worth $1.1 billion, I mean, maybe these guys could be worth $400 million, which is, you know, a hell of a lot more than $185 million. And once they get that, you know, if they could get that, even if they could get 275, it's like, man, you know, that's, you know what I mean? It's like, you can't kill them. I mean, I don't know if they can kill them now anyway, but the one thing that, the one big thing is that if the sale goes through, and God knows what a mess that's going to be, and that's really the biggest story going on right now when it comes to wrestling and MMA is, you know, who's going to be owning this thing? Are they going to be merging together, which would help everyone on the streaming service because, you know, more people would have it? Or, you know, are they going to be prevented from merging, in which case, you know, what happens with WBD, you know, and those stations, and what happens with the streaming service, and did they get split? And, you know, there's all kinds of things. But if, you know, if it goes through, and they like the numbers that AEW produces, I mean, you know, AEW's, you know, I mean, they're in. They don't have to beat WWE. They still don't have to beat WWE now.
Well, after the Saturday night's main event and collision... and SmackDown. Stand by. Let's get Dave back. All right, let's try that again. So after the TVs this weekend for WWE and AEW, we got a bunch of stuff coming up. This will kind of cover some of the big angles on all the shows. So Dynamite this Wednesday, we actually have a bunch of stuff announced here in advance. We got Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay, and Jon Moxley against Brian Cage, Echi Sero, and Jake Doyle. We got Kevin Knight.
So that should be an angle where all three guys have issues, right? That should be something that teases a lot in the future, I think.
We've got Kevin Knight defending the TNT title against Darby Allin, so that is a title match. We got Jay White and Clark Connors. And we've got Divine Dominion defending the tag titles against Julie Hart and Sky Blue in a no DQ match.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the four.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, yeah, Tech with Sky Blue and Julie Hart won the Artists of Stardom, their trios titles on Saturday night at the Ota Awards show in Tokyo.
We also got some additions and changes to Redemption. So it's Kevin Knight and Kenny Omega for the world title. It is Kyle Fletcher and Bandido for the international title. Jericho and Tommaso Ciampa on Collision. So Jericho challenges Ciampa to a match where it will be the Painmaker versus the Psycho Killer. And they made sure to add the stip that it's no DQ. So... not just a straight match when those guys are facing off.
Wasn't the last one no DQ also?
No, because San got involved. Remember, it was like it was weird. They wrestled it like a hardcore match, but at the same time, like the ref wouldn't allow a bucket to be used. It was weird. But this one is no disqualification. We got Mark Davis and Andrade for the national title. We got Christian Cage and Adam Copeland against Pac and Claudio. Which, by the way, you said that was announced on Dynamite, Dave. It was not. Did you have inside information there?
No, it wasn't announced on Dynamite. It was announced after Dynamite.
It was announced actually on Collision. They made the challenge on the Collision show, and it was accepted.
I had seen the graphic for it, so they were definitely a graphic out late that night.
We got Will Ospreay and Jon Moxley versus the Young Bucks.
That's interesting. It's real interesting. They'll probably have a hell of a match. So in the setup, what was the keys to the setup?
Will Ospreay challenged him on Collision.
Because the Young Bucks, obviously they should be heading for a match with Copeland and Christian, so they probably should win. But I don't see Ospreay, losing by pin right now. I wouldn't do it, especially because even if he were to lose to Matt or Nick, it's like it's not going to build up a championship
match
later in the year.
Will Ospreay should not be losing any matches before Wembley.
I mean, he could lose once. He could lose once to a guy he's going to face later. That wouldn't bother me at all, but only once. But Moxley, it's like I feel Moxley's going to be at some point getting a championship match. So I don't know that, but they could also have a miscommunication thing too. You could always do that, where one of them loses, or they could just beat the Young. I mean, they could beat the Young Bucks and the Young Bucks skill challenge for the championship. I mean, you can still do that.
We got Tekla and Willow Nightingale for the AEW Women's title. And they have added Hikaru Shida versus Maya World for the TBS title. And the angle there was Hikaru Shida beat Queen Aminata, and then she hit her with a stick afterwards. Maya World made the save, and somehow that got her a TBS title match. So that has been added to the show as well. So then for
we pretty much got the show. you know, it's it'll be interesting. I mean, they're obviously stronger than they've been in a long time. It's also, in many ways, we already know that the Big Show is the next show, not this one. It's got a world title match, which the last show didn't have, but it's Kevin Knight, you know, going for the title, which is, you know, it's not a guy who's had a lot of main event pay-per-view experience, said none. But, you know, and maybe, you know, again, maybe they'll just do it because they'll do okay because, you know, they've got a track record on pay-per-view of delivering. But it can't be one of the, you know, it's not going to be, you know, one of the top numbers or anything like that. I mean, if they do, you know, whatever, if they do, I don't know, 125, I think they're doing great with this show because everyone's focused on the next one. The next one's the one that has to do a big number, and I'm sure will.
Then we got some changes to SummerSlam after this weekend. So it is Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, we knew that. CM Punk and Cody Rhodes is still a singles match after they won the tag team match on Saturday night's main event. We got Brock Lesnar over Femi Hell in a Cell. Liv Morgan against Io Sky. They did announce on SmackDown that Rhea Ripley is injured. She's a torn meniscus. And it was weird. They go, she could be back very soon. But we're not sure, so therefore we're creating an interim championship. And so there's a bunch of matches, and there's going to be a six-way, I think, I can't remember how many women, but there's a women's ladder match at SummerSlam. The winner becomes the interim champion, and then as soon as Rhea comes back, they will do a unification match. So they did those matches on SmackDown on Friday, a couple of them. We got Penta against Chad Gable. We've got LA Knight, Solo, and Royce Keyes versus Jacob Fatu and the Usos, and they did add, coming off this this wacky angle, it is Gunther versus Nick Aldis. So Aldis is getting his match.
They've been building that, you know, ever since the last pay per view. So I didn't know if they would pull the trigger on it, and or you know, Aldis would pick someone, but I guess Aldis is going to do a match. You know, Gunther's going to beat him, you know, unless Bruce Pritchard, like, gets his way, right? You know, because he's the one who wanted Pat McAfee to beat Gunther. But, because no one would expect it. Yeah, because nobody, you know, nobody else would think of something so freaking stupid. So, yeah, I mean, Gunther should win. You know, there's always, like, the thing once every now and then where you can do it. But I don't know. Personally, to me, I don't want these general managers in matches, but it's entertaining, you know, whatever. It's like, if you're looking at it, would another company, you know, in, you know, have done this in another period? And it's like, you know, they, you know, would, you know, the authority figure, the rest, or the announcer, does the, you know, which is essentially what it is. You know, it's like the old thing where they would have the ex wrestler announcer do the big angle and come back for a match. And it's like, it's an angle. It's like, you know, except it's this time it's the authority figure instead. So it's better Nick Aldis than John Laurinaitis. That's what I would say. And, but, you know, and I guess they didn't have, well, I mean, the original idea for Gunther was Royce Keyes. So this is probably better for both of them because, you know, it'd be worse for Royce Keyes to lose again to Gunther. He's probably better off being that six man and being in a different program. And for Gunther, you know, it's a win either way.
All right, so the G1 from this the most recent show, I guess this would have been today, we had Yui Uemura beating Zack Sabre Jr., Ren Narita.
I bet that match was great.
Ren Narita beat Callum Newman, Gabe Kidd beat Oscar, Hanare beat Drilla Maloney, and those were the block matches. So as of right now, we're 3 days in. In the A block, Goto is in the lead, 4 points. And Takeshita, Bolton Oleg, Yota Tsuji, Shingo, Jake Lee, Great Okan, Yuto Ice, and Ryohei Uiwa all have 2 points. Sonata has none. And then for the B block, in first place, actually everyone is tied, almost. Drilla Maloney, Callum Newman, Aaron Wolf, Oscar, Yui Uemura, Ren Narita, Gabe Kidd, and Hanare all have 4 points. Zack Sabre Jr. has 2, and Shota Umino is out of the tournament So
Because of zero points. Because of all the forfeits and everything. Everyone got that forfeit win. Yeah, it's too bad about Umino. I watched the not today's show, but yesterday's show from Sapporo, and that was a very good show. It was interesting because like Maloney and Gabe Kidd, they did a double juice match, and you know, there's New Japan usually doesn't do juice. You know, it's not like a hard and fast rule. They never do it, but they really frown on it these days. And they did a double juice match, lots of brawling, lots of kicking out of finishers, you know, over and over and over again. Pretty good match, like really good match. And then Jake Lee and Takeshita, which wasn't terrible, but probably about as weak of a Takeshita match as you'll see. And then what else? They had Bolton and Yuto Ice, which was pretty good. I mean, it was they beat the hell out of each other. And then what was it? Who was Oiwa in there with? Oiwa had Yotsuji wrestled Goto, and Goto beat Yotsuji. Very good match. You know what you would expect is exactly what you would expect. You know, if Goto was going to win that match, and so. What was who's Oiwa with? I don't remember, and I just watched it yesterday.
I don't have the previous day's lineup right here.
Oh, I have it on my phone.
Well, was it good or not?
The Oiwa match was very good. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, right.
So who's in the block? I mean, like, just look at the A block. I'm missing someone, and that would be the person.
Goto, Takeshita, Yotsuji, Shingo, Jake Lee, Great Okan, Yuto Ice.
So it was Shingo Takagi and Oiwa. Yeah, of course it was a great match.
Well, that sounds
yeah,
great,
yeah, Shingo Takagi is always in a great match. Oiwa felt like when I was watching it, Oiwa felt like a guy who could. I don't think he's going to win, but if he did win, I wouldn't think it was a bad thing. He's got a presence right now. His wrestling is real, real good. He's you know,
he does stand out.
What?
He stands out.
He's a big guy, you know, got very, very muscular, but I mean, he can go, you know, of the guys. And I mean, I know a lot of people going into this tournament, you know, picked Uemura to win it. And I think that's probably a really good person to win it. Of those guys, like Tsuji, he's the champion. He shouldn't win it. And Uemura is really a good wrestler. Like he's just really good. Yuto Ice has the most charisma of all of them, but I don't see him as winning G1 right now. I mean, it'd be really cool if he did. I mean, he'd become a superstar if he did. I think the person who wins this G1, you know. When I look at it in other ways, I could, you know, like if I had to pick a guy, the guy with the charisma is Yuto Ice. And I know that, like, he's, you know, people kind of see him as a tag team guy, and he's not someone that anyone expects to win the thing. But I don't know. I mean, I don't expect him, but I don't know that he'd be a bad choice right now, you know, because they need a shakeup anyway.
All right, Ben Askren.
You see the promos or anything like that?
No, I haven't seen anything.
Oh, I mean, they're going to do a movie on his life, you know. He was up 3-0. Like, I thought he's going to go out there and, you know, I mean, he's going to get teched, but it's a win, you know, and so it's like his promos that he'd been doing all week were so great, so freaking great. But it's like, you know, he almost died, and he's 42 years old, and you know, and he was up 3-0 after two rounds, and then he ran out of gas and lost 6-3. And you know, I mean, it's just the fact that he was competitive and winning, unbelievable. You know, if you think about from a year ago and and everything, and he's nowhere close to 100%. He said it himself. He's getting better every week. But he was 189 pounds, you know, from whatever he was before. I mean, it's such an you know, like I said, I heard Rory Karf is doing a movie on him, and they should, you know. I mean, and what a storybook finish. And then, like, at the end, you know, he loses, but he does this great promo, retires and all that, and just says that, you know, he wants to be. Oh, you know, you got to see the promo. I can't do justice for this Ben Askren promo. It was, you know, all of his promo work this week has been so great, and what an absolutely, like, incredible story. Like, you know, double lung transplant. You know, a lot of people with that. You know, granted, he's younger than most that have it, and obviously, you know, a top level athlete. But most people with double lung transplant, they don't live that much longer. He probably has a good chance of living longer, but the idea of that and then being able to compete in a sport like wrestling, which is a hard-ass sport, and in there with a guy, and granted, Bilal Muhammad is not a wrestler, he's an MMA fighter, but he's still like a top-level athlete. You know, Ben, yeah, you know, Ben is certainly a better wrestler and has a better wrestling brain and that advantage. I just didn't think he would have the strength to be competitive, and he did. He just didn't have the gas tank, which I also didn't think he would have. But he had enough, you know, just the, I mean, it's just, to me, you know, like him just do, the fact he did it is just unbelievable. And, you know, seeing, you know, all the people sing happy birthday to him and given him the standing ovation and all that. Although, like, the promotion, you know, they, you know, Chael Sonnen was the announcer, and he, you know, it's like everyone gave him a standing ovation, right? And they all do. It's not like they did immediately. They should have. You know, it was such a scene, such a fantastic scene there. I just think his whole life, and the comeback and everything like that is just incredible, incredible story. You know, we do the Shad Gaspar John Huber Award, which he won last year. And I'll tell you right now, he should win it this year too. To do this year, unbelievable. I mean, I just think it's one of the great stories. And Ben's a really good guy, really studious guy, really smart when it comes to wrestling. He's going to make he's going to be in an incredible, incredible wrestling coach, and he already is. And you know, he's coaching some top people and a lot of kids and things like that. And he's going to, you know, live a very, you know, I mean, he's probably learned a lot of lessons about life that hopefully we can learn from too. About not quitting, because my God, you know, I mean, his promos, like you said, like, you know, he couldn't even go to the bathroom by himself. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get out of a hospital bed. He was, last year, I think there was maybe he wanted to go home. I don't know, it was his birthday or something, but he just wanted to go home for a day. And it's like, no, you can't leave this place. You know, he was unconscious for however long it was. He was in a long, long coma, wakes up. It's weeks later, you know, months later than he knew, no memory of anything. And, you know, his wife had to basically tell him everything that happened. He just, and then to go and to be able to do that match, like when he announced that match, I just thought, it's a great gimmick idea and all that. But I tell you, for Bischoff, man, they should hire. I mean, he's really all in with that group anyway. But they should hire him to be commissioner, the role Hogan was supposed to have, and do a lot of PR, because he's very, very enthusiastic and very well spoken about that promotion. And you know, that he's and just a, you know, a great rep to me. Like, if you're going to go in there and you're going into a city, have him go and you know, just speak and everything to the media, because everyone's going to want to talk to him anyway because of who he is. and have him explain, you know, who these wrestlers are and everything. I think it's just a great, great role for him.
All right, before we go, tomorrow is Raw, and they've announced Seth Rollins, Danhausen, Chad Gable all on the show. Jacob Fatu is also going to be facing LA Knight. And I presume you have a very early morning flight as usual, so you'll be back for tomorrow night?
I'll be back for tomorrow night, yeah. I'll definitely be back. So, in the Shuri Natsupoi match, very, very often, because there's a lot of really super women's wrestling matches in Japan. So, I mean, almost every week, there's always going to be a match where someone goes, you got to see this match. And, you know, I try. You know, some weeks I don't have the time, and a lot of weeks I don't have the time. But I try. Every week I try, okay? But usually when those matches happen, you know, I watch them, and they're, I know why people rave about them. Okay, they're technically excellent matches. But a lot of them, like, they're not really that heated. They're just really well wrestled. And it's like, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, it's great. They're great matches. I mean, but like when people will say, like, match of the year, it's like, to me, match of the year, you know, you got to have a really, you know, especially today, this year, you know, or modern times. I mean, you can have the greatest wrestled match of the year. If you're talking now match of the year, the crowd's got to be going crazy. They got to be. Even as a contender for match of the year, because we've got 50 matches that are well wrestled, and we have five of them every week that are well I mean, way more than that, but I mean, they're super well wrestled, right? So anyway, this match had the heat. This match was fantastic. The only negative, and it's a big negative, is, man, they did stuff they did a lot of dangerous stuff, you know, a lot of apron bumps and things like that. But a lot of people do that now. I mean, you know, high angle things that make you cringe for good reason. Some of the, you know, it's like I don't know. I mean, it's one of those funny things, you know, that I always think about, because it's like, in most cases, when you and I will talk about a match and it's like this really incredible match, but they do stuff that's really dangerous, in almost every case, the match was going to be completely awesome, even if you took that out. And like, it's the drive that makes you that good of a wrestler makes you do things that are probably better for you not to do, especially in the long run. And like this one, you know, between that and the headbutts really just concerned me. There were, and there was more than one of them. And it's like, you know, it's like, as much as like this match, I mean, legitimately this match was like, you know, I don't want to say it's the best women's match of the year, because I haven't seen every great women's match this year, but it's the best one that I've seen this year. And it had heat, and it had everything from the first minute of this match. It was like, man, this is Natsupoi just was awesome, and Shuri's always awesome. And it's just like, okay, this, you know, it's like, okay, this one is like, when people tell me like this is gonna be like match of the year, it's like, okay, this is not just really well wrestled, this is special. And then on the flip side, it's like there were moments, and there was more than one and more than two, you know, more than three, where it was just like, god damn, you know, like, you have a really special match and you're fucking clonking your heads against each other as hard as you can. And it's like, I know that's what they do there. And I know that in the mentality is to, you know, hit really hard in safe and unsafe places, and do anything you can do to have these incredible, incredible matches. But it's like, you know, if you took every one of those things out of that match, it's still a match of the year candidate. That's how good the wrestling was. And, you know, I mean, you know, I said what I said about the other stuff. I think anyone that watched that match will enjoy it greatly, and also have two or three or four moments where it's just like, why'd they do this? You know, and, you know, they always will, you know, because that's just how it is there. They have less concern about long-term brain health in some of those promotions than they should. And, you know, like you mess up your knee, you can have surgery, but, you know, if you're going to give yourself CTE, there's not much you can do, and wrestling's dangerous as is, under the best of circumstances. If you're, you know, and I say, like, if you're working a hard style, everyone, you know, maybe not WWE, but even WWE is working somewhat of a hard style, but everyone's working super hard style right now. So it's like, you're always, you're always going to be, risk. It's a risk business, but it's like, you don't need to take those risks, but, you know, I don't know. It really concerned me. I mean, it's funny too, because I was with Salvador Luderoff today, and we was talking about Atlantis Junior to be after several more months. And it's just like, and he just said the thing that you and I have said a few times. And it's like, this goes like, all the stuff that our guys do, you know, all the flying and all that. And almost every time somebody gets hurt, it's doing the most basic of basic things. So mm-hmm. they do these things and they don't get hurt. And then they just do something basic and the knee goes out, you know, like just nothing. And the knee just goes out, right? It doesn't go out from doing, you know, what Mascara Dorada does. Although someday I'm sure it will, because, you know, the law of averages does catch up to every single person that does that, and in some form. But, you know, the fact is that, like, they're not getting hurt on those moves. Somehow, every time they do one of those moves, I cringe, you know, but they get up and they're fine and all that.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up for today. Dave and I'll be back tomorrow. You can check out The Observer, which went up early this week because Dave went to Mexico. And a lot of other shows are up on the front page now covering everything else. And that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.